What is up, Rotoballers? It's the Fantasy Bomb back at you once more. And today, special edition of the Bomb, we're going to have a throwdown, ADP showdown. Chris, it's time to get it on. You ready to throw down?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Do you know what we're throwing down about?
No.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So of course I know what we're throwing down about.
All right. I just wanted to see. Like, you're just ready to throw down no matter what. Like, let's just
it doesn't even matter. Just bring it on. Let's go.
Let's just go.
It doesn't even matter.
All right. So we're going to do an ADP showdown. We'll keep it civil here. It's a fantasy football show after all. So we're going to talk about some players that are pretty similar in ADP range. And we're going to pick a side and we're going to fight for our lives for it. And today, a pair of running backs that are borderline first round picks, usually second round, but either way, it's going to cost you an early pick. We're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell and Dalvin Cook. What better place to start than some controversial runners? All right. You ready to get it on?
I'm ready.
Let's drop the bomb.
It's the Fantasy Bomb.
All right, what is up? I am Pierre Camus, lead editor at Rotoballer. With me is Chris Mangano, and we are going to throw down. We said talk about Dalvin Cook and Lev Bell, and these are guys that you're going to see fluctuate quite a bit. And it's funny because, first of all, by the way, you might notice, yes, number one Dolphins flag is back.
You're back.
Back mainly because I was too lazy to put up my green screen after vacation. So maybe next week it'll be a backup. But also, I didn't want to clash. Usually, I'd been wearing, you know, the shirt of the summer, Mr. Rosen one, right? Remember the Rosen one shirt? So
yes.
This time, though, representing because not a lot going on in football these days. Let's just be honest, right? It's midsummer. Classic is going on. It's all about baseball. There's literally nothing going on in the NFL, right? No. Training camps haven't started. It's not draft season. But one thing that's very exciting in the fantasy football community is the Fish Bowl. So I did want to represent. There you go. The Fish Bowl. Scott
very
Fish Bowl
nice.
9. And I
very
love
nice.
It.
I like the retro.
I love the shirt. Retro. It's because it's a video game theme. So, I mean, yeah. Video games and fantasy football, what it's a nerd's dream. It's like my dream is realized. Nothing could be better.
This is it. Your life pops out right here. This is it.
This is it. It's like Nirvana for me. It can't get any better. Anyways, drafting the fishbowl. We did a talk about that a couple weeks ago. You can always check out that episode right here and talk about some of the strategy. Of course, if you're not in the fishbowl, you probably don't care too much about the strategy, but follow along on Twitter, hashtag SFB9. Just like this, SFB9. All right, just to see, it's interesting to see what some of the leading experts in the industry are doing and what their opinion is talking about ADP, because you're going to see all those leagues totally different, right? You'll see just so much variation. So we're talking about a guy like Le'Veon Bell. I think that's a good segue because you were just telling me you were following some of the leagues there, and you've seen Le'Veon Bell go anywhere from, what, the first round to the third round?
I've seen him as high as 1.05, so the fifth overall pick, and I've seen him as low as the early third. So that's a pretty big range.
That's a big range. I did not see New York Jet version of Le'Veon Bell as the fifth overall pick. I got to admit, I never had him in consideration. I had the eighth pick in my league. I didn't even have him on my board at that point. So, why do you think people still view him? Let's talk about that first. Why do you think people still have him as a first-round pick when he's not a Steeler anymore? This Jets offense, we don't know what it's going to be, really, right? They have Darnold, second-year quarterback. We have a new coach in Gase. I'm not even going to get into how my feelings about. Why are people so big? Are they just clinging to the past still? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think a little bit. It's kind of like we were talking about David Johnson before we started recording here, where people are looking back at his, 2016 season, and they're still clinging to that. Like, well, that's what he's capable of. I mean, we know Le'Veon Bell is a great player, so we know what he's capable of. And I think, you know, I know the argument I saw was, if you look at the other running backs, none of them have that dual upside that were left. They were talking about the other running backs that were left on the board. None of them have that crazy, you know, RB1, RB2 type upside that Le'Veon Bell has. So that was the argument for taking him that high.
And I honestly, that's the one thing I hate more than anything. Will people overpay for that? Like I said, the ceiling that we've already seen, right? Like, oh, look what he did. Yeah, that's what he did. We're not looking for what he did. You're not buying, you know, his 2016 value, 2017. You don't get that, right? When you draft him, it's you don't inherit those stats. Like, is he going to do? Right. If he's already had his career year, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be better? Probably not. And so I'll tell you something that I feel that same way about the tight ends, without making this about tight ends, is everyone's way overpaying, I think, for George Kittle especially, and a little bit for Zach Ertz. But anyways, okay, so here's the thing. Bell's been a monster, but is he going to be a monster? I don't know. All right, and then now Dalvin Cook, we haven't really seen it because he's barely played, right? He played in 4 games as a rookie. He looked really good in 4 games. Blew out an ACL, and then he looked not so good last year recovering. So we really don't know what he could be. So you're talking about proven performance in the past versus potential that's, I guess, still untapped. So what side of the fence would you lean on? Let's say we're talking more second round, right? I'm guessing you would you touch either of these guys in the first round? Let's just ask that first.
No, I wouldn't. I personally would not draft either of these guys in the first round. Second rounders. Okay. Definitely second rounders.
Second rounder. Okay. And so like about what range as far as running backs overall, because, you know, we got the first 4 guys for sure. Some people throwing David Johnson at like number 5. You got Melvin Gordon, Mixon, Connor. Like where do you have these guys?
I mean, I definitely have Bell ahead of Cook. I mean, these are guys that I probably wouldn't draft anyways, because there's wide receivers I like better than them in the second round. So these are probably guys I wouldn't draft anyways. But if I had to take a running back, I mean, I'd probably have Bell maybe like around that 8 to 10 range. Cook maybe like 10 to 12, something like that.
Wow. Okay. So that's interesting. You have Cook a lot lower. I'm big on Cook, right? Big Cook guy, not in college. Hated him. Hated his guts in college because he's a Seminole. But that aside, love his talent, right? I hate him more because I was jealous he didn't come to UM. He should have. But I mean, I love it. He's got the speed, right? That elite breakaway speed. He can catch the ball too. And that's the thing. We haven't really seen it, right? He didn't get a chance to show it. I caught 40 balls last year in 11 games, only 10 starts. And that was, again, he wasn't really fully in effect, you know, because of the injury. So he's got that potential. Like, I'm not saying he's another David Johnson, maybe not prime peak Le'Veon Bell from a couple of years ago. But I think he outperforms Bell because of the offensive situation. I think if you take Vikings versus Jets, to me, it's a no-brainer. So I don't get how you have Bell ahead because of what reason.
Well, I have him ahead for a few reasons. Number one, we know Le'Veon Bell can handle a heavy workload. We've seen him do it, right? We've seen him do it. And yeah, you're right. The Vikings offense will be better than the Jets offense, probably. But I don't think that's necessarily a plus or a minus. You know, you can be on a bad offense and still, as a running back, and still put up great numbers, or vice versa. You know, so I don't think that's as important. I kind of look at, actually, when I look at the two quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold, I like that Bell is attached to Sam Darnold more than I like that Cook is attached to Kirk Cousins, because I feel like Kirk Cousins isn't afraid to stand in the pocket and look downfield and wait for somebody to get open. Whereas Darnold, being a younger guy, he might be more apt to just say, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to take the safety valve to Le'Veon Bell more often. So I kind of look at the offense. I kind of look at that as an advantage for Le'Veon Bell being in the Jets offense. Now, he may not get as many goal line opportunities as Dalvin Cook, but I think he's going to get more opportunity. And the Jets just signed, you know, they signed him to this big contract. They didn't sign him to a big contract, you know, so he could play 50% of the snaps or 60% of the snaps. He's going to get the touches. Will he get the touches he got in Pittsburgh? No, definitely not. That was ridiculous. But he's going to be a, you know, a, in my opinion, he's going to be an 18 to 20 touch guy every single week. And I don't know if I can say the same for Dalvin Cook. Even though Dalvin Cook doesn't necessarily have a lot of competition, he played 4 games his rookie year. He only played 11 games last year. I can't imagine the Vikings feel super confident that Dalvin Cook can handle 20 touches week in and week out if they want to have a healthy Dalvin Cook, you know, going into the playoffs, which I'm pretty sure they have playoff aspirations. So those are the major reasons that lead me towards Le'Veon Bell over Dalvin Cook.
Well, that first theory is an interesting one. I like it. It's like the Eli Manning theory, right? Like if you just can't pass the ball because you're not capable, you're just going to dump it off, right, every single time. Saquon Barkley is probably going to lead the entire NFL in receiving this year, receptions at least. So I get that. I think Bell will get more receptions. I think that probably goes without saying. But here's the thing. So he's got all those touches. You know, he led the league in touches in 2017, right? The Steelers are going to run him into the ground probably last year before they let him go, which is why he held out. But he does have those touches, right? He's got 1,500 touches under his belt, or you could say on his tread. Dalvin Cook doesn't have that, right? He's got less than a full season worth of touches. And so he's going to be a lot fresher. Talk about, Le'Veon Bell's going to be fresh because he, you know, sat around on his ass all the week. Well, Dalvin Cook's still pretty fresh, right? He's younger. Yes. He's still got less tread on the tires. He's going to be fresh too, okay? He's younger. And then here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell has had the benefit of running behind the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line, which we know is always one of the best, right? Top 5, at the very least top 10, but always one of the best offensive lines. He's going to the Jets, right? Let's remind you, he's going to the Jets now, one of the bottom 10 offensive lines in the league. So I don't know if his style, his running style, where I'm going to sit there and, you know, wait a few seconds and see what develops, like that's not going to work so well. Like they didn't work so great for, you know, Isaiah Crowell and Elijah McGuire last year. So I just don't know if his game will translate. You know, he's going to have that adjustment period. Whereas Cook, you know, he knows what he's getting into, right? He's comfortable. He's in the offense. He's going to be a focal point of the offense. So I don't know, man. I just have a lot of trepidation with Bell. And then, of course, there's Adam Gase, who we know is a master at mismanaging backfields. And even though we know he should, based on his contract, get at least 20 touches a game, he probably won't. And by the way, don't forget, Adam Gase said he really don't think that, you know, Le'Veon Bell's worth the money they're paying him.
Yeah, no, the Adam Gase, you know, definitely Adam Gase is definitely a concern. But again, there's nobody on the roster that I feel like who's Adam Gase going to give the ball to over Le'Veon Bell. Like there's nobody on the roster, in my opinion, that deserves a football over Le'Veon Bell. And even Adam Gase can't mess that up. Right.
Oh, don't underestimate the power of the Gase. Bilal Powell, he'll give him a couple of touches here and there. Bilal
Powell, he almost died last year.
He's still alive. He's almost kind of there. I don't know. They'll pull Trenton Cannon off of the practice squad and they'll give him a couple of touches. I'm just saying he'll find a way to screw it up, right? And I just don't think the production people are going to expect Le'Veon Bell, especially these people who drafted him in the first round. I think that's a huge mistake. You're expecting Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers. It's not the same guy, not the same situation. So to me, I'd rather have the upside of a guy like Cook who, yeah, I think Bell's maybe a little safer in a full PPR because he'll get the receptions. He'll give you that floor. To me, I think, you know, Cook's got that breakaway speed. He's got the big play potential that Bell doesn't probably have quite so much anymore at his advanced running back age of, what is it, 28? And I'm just saying, I think it's a better team, better offense, better situation. So I got Cook, you know, a couple spots higher probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – like, this isn't a huge – like, I don't have Bell way higher than Dalvin Cook, and I can understand the, you know, taking Cook over Bell. It's just I actually think Bell has more upside, and it's because of the reason you said, because of his work in the passing game. I mean, if we're talking about PPR leagues, which I feel like we're talking about PPR leagues because that's really all there is, or even half PPR – those extra receptions really add up. And yeah, they do give you the safer floor. And I do worry about Cook. I mean, I'm not like an injury guy. You know me, I always say like, oh, injuries are overblown. But we're talking about a guy who injured in college, injured his rookie year, injured again last year. I mean, there's a lot of risk in Dalvin Cook. And I feel like you're drafting him. I don't feel like the risk is really baked into Dalvin Cook's ADP. Like if you're drafting him in the early second round, when there's other guys like Joe Mixon on the board or Nick Chubb or some of the other running backs going in the early second, I don't feel like, or even Le'Veon Bell, I don't feel like that risk is baked in, the risk of like he might miss a handful of games this year. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely think Le'Veon Bell is safer, but I still think he has plenty of upside as well.
There's upside. Is this basically, does this boil down to an argument of floor versus ceiling, right? The safety of Bell, you know, he's going to get the touches and the receptions versus the potential we haven't seen with Cook. I mean, is that what it is? Just how much risk you want in the second round?
I mean, but I feel like Bell has plenty of ceiling too. Like, I don't feel like this is, you know, like super safe Le'Veon Bell. This isn't, you know what I mean? This, like, there are some concerns with Le'Veon Bell. Like you said, Adam Gase, the offense, there are some concerns here for sure with Le'Veon Bell. Like, I don't feel like he's super safe. I feel like he has plenty of upside, but I do feel like he's going to get more touches and he's going to get more touches, especially in the passing game. You know, Cook, he averaged, I think, 2.8 receptions his first year, 3.6 last year per game. It's probably right about where he's going to be, where Bell could be a 4 or 5, you know, even a 6 catch guy some games. And that's huge. You know, those are just free points. So I don't know if it's a safety versus ceiling thing. For me, it's more like a who's going to get more opportunity type of thing. And I think that's going to be Le'Veon Bell.
Makes sense. Are we also, are we factoring in the risk of, like, you know, week 3 that Bell only gets like 10 carries because they fall behind early, and then he starts complaining to the media, and then Adam Gase puts in the doghouse, and then he just becomes a malcontent the rest of the season. I mean, that's a possibility, right? This is a guy who sat out the entire year and threw his teammates under the bus. I mean, this is New York, okay? So we got a malcontent in New York, a guy who's very public and doesn't seem to really care what people think. I mean, that's some risk too, right?
No, that is definitely a risk. I mean, there's a lot of risk for both these guys. So, yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, if he gets in Adam Gase's doghouse, Adam Gase is liable to do anything. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, trade, which might be good. If he gets in Adam Gase's doghouse and you drafted Le'Veon Bell, you probably want him to get traded, right? At least he's out of Adam Gase's doghouse. So, no, I definitely think that's a risk. I mean, there's risk with both these guys. I just feel like Bell going to get more opportunities. And for me, when it boils down, whenever I have players that are close like this, I want to take the one that I feel is going to have the majority of opportunities.
Makes sense, right? Opportunity. It's all about the touches, all about the targets when you talk about receivers. So yeah, opportunity is king. One of our many sayings around here. Probably the bottom line for me, I'm doubt that I'll own Bell probably anywhere this season. It's just, to me, all those things I already mentioned, I'm probably not going to own him at all. Cook, I'm not going to chase him. Like I said, I don't have to own him, but I do think he's a strong target for me in that mid-second round range, depending on what I get in the first round. If I go receiver in the first round, which a lot of times I will, I'll go Hopkins if I can. He might be my first running back. You never know.
What happened to Mr. Zero RB? I'm all in on zero RB this year. That didn't last long.
It's modified. It's one single RB is the trend now. That's what everyone's single doing. RB. That's what the cool kids are doing. So
basically, it's just I drafted a wide receiver in round one.
It could be running back in round one, but the point is you only get one running back, and then you draft everybody else, and then you get a running back later.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
Oh, okay. All right.
Single RB. That's the trend. All right. So, anyways, that does it for this showdown. Look out for more of these. And, oh, by the way, have you subscribed to Rotoballer? Got plenty of content. You know, we're here every single week of the off season for fantasy football. This is the Fantasy Bomb. Join us and subscribe. And, of course, check out rotoballer.com. All right. Thanks for watching.